Amen. Let's give another great hand of praise for Pastor Kurt and his word for today. You know, we're all being built up and edified, and what I'm really encouraged is to see you bringing out your kids, and there's younger people coming and listening, and you know, even when you have infants, they still, those seeds are being planted in the hearts of the Spirit, and it's awesome because we can watch the fruit later. I'm sure, like, I love listening to Kurt's testimony and how his children have advanced, and you look back and you see them at this age. I remember when, I'm even forgetting that. Kurt and Nicole, right, and they look just like, you know, the other two. Sorry, I'm in that zone. I kind of, when I get into that realm, I just lose all concept of names and everything else, but it was almost like yesterday. And then to see them where they're at today through this place and the building up of them as parents, encouraging them the truth and all. So I'm grateful for what is going on, and I know that there are multiples of people out there listening through the internet which are being built up and edified, even though we don't see them here. And I look back, and I look back in the days of old where, you know, the only way you would be able to reach is to build a church, and then you had your block of congregation. But now we were able to build a church and listen throughout the whole world on the internet, which is an awesome thing. So I bless all those that are listening now. We've been speaking a series, and it's a real important series because it gives us a greater understanding of life. And we've been traditionally speaking under a concept of what sin was, and it kind of made you feel dirty in a way. But we're clarifying the fact that we were born in sin, which is a world that we're innocent. We're actually innocent, and we're good people. It's just the nature that we were born into. And with that nature, you know, we were consumed by desires. And yes, that speaker is acting up, and there's issues, and we'll resolve it. But bear with our little technical difficulties and really allow the message to soak in. You know, forget about the little perks that are happening right now. We'll clear that up. And that's why we need your donations. We need your, so we can help our issues here. But with that being said, God has given us a revelation, a clearer understanding that all of us are good people. None of us mean harm. None of us. To say that you're born in sin and you need to repent and you're bad and all that is a traditional nonsense, I want to call it. The truth is that we were born in a nature that thrives on anxiety. It thrives on depression. It thrives on these things that cause us to be sick. We are, spiritually speaking, blind, deaf, dumb, lame, even dead. But it's spiritual. It's all spiritual. And we live a life that is spirit. Life is a spirit. And we need to have a clear understanding of why we need God. Why do we need revelation? Why do we need grace? Why do we need these things? A lot of people would assume that we don't need it anymore. We don't need God. I can do it on my own. I don't need to hear the message of religion or message of your spiritual guidance. I don't need to hear it because I'm fine. I'm intellectual. I'm smart. I'm not dumb. I got a sound mind. I'm cool. But the reality is, we're deceived. When I was seeking God for this message, I'm going to be honest with you, I wasn't getting anything until this morning. Most of it all came to me during worship. Understanding, I got bits and pieces of it, realizing that we're walking in a world in a nature that is really deceiving us based on our own intellectual knowledge. Not understanding the true grace that God has given us so that we can come out of the carnal nature that has so easily ensnared us through temptation. And if we can understand the truth, we can grab hold of this and come out of the sin nature or come out of sin and walk a spiritual life that God desires for all of us to walk in. And when we walk in a spiritual life, that's eternal. And we have blessings, not curses. How many of us want to be blessed? How many of us are basically just worn out, tired of always having hardship, always having a place of desperation, anxiety that brings that desperation or desperate or disappointment or depression? We'll even go deeper. We're suffering. And the reason why we're suffering is because we're lacking this spiritual knowledge, this grace that God has given us. And we're here as ministers to give this grace so that we have a clear understanding of what our battle is. Our battle is not fighting through our knowledge of how to make more money to be able to live a better life and all that. God understands your needs, and he understands your desires, and he understands what he has ordained for you since the foundations of the world. When he formed you, he also formed a life in you. And a lot of times we went through sufferings, but those sufferings, if you understand the truth, are there to build character in us, and it's not really a suffering, but for us to just become stronger so that we can fight a battle that is set before us. We're all in a battle. How many of us understand that we're all in a battle? And if I could clarify it, hope is our leading or guiding light. Without hope, we have no guide. It's like the hand of God is hope. And he's reaching out, and he's grabbing us, and he's leading us and guiding us. And without hope, we let his hand go. And now we're wandering around aimlessly trying to work things out in our own understanding, and we're going to fail. Now, one of the things that we need to realize is that we're all tempted. Every one of us are tempted. And we're tempted by so-called evil desires. But I want to clarify this temptation. Temptation, and I said last week, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I want to bring an example of that. If we understand what the flesh is the soul, the flesh is the natural or the nature of who you are, the carnal nature, the nature that lives in the world, in this life. Understanding and trying to reason with your mind. It's not with your heart. Your heart is a different realm. Your heart and your hopes is like walking in faith. You have no concept of how God's going to work things out. You have no idea how things are going to transpire and unfold. You don't know what tomorrow brings. But you have this hope. You have this life. You have this inspiration, this unction. We call it the anointing. And when we can walk in this anointing is also a conviction. Now, if you can really tune in to what I'm about to say, because this is like the nucleus of this message, we have a conviction, and our carnal nature is weak. And our carnal nature will always reason and try to justify our weakness. What happens is we have a conviction. And that conviction is not bad or good. It's just a leading, a guiding light to lead us down the right road. And when we ignore the conviction And how we ignore it is through temptation. And that temptation brings our minds to a place of reasoning through weakness. How many people are following this? So what we begin to do is we begin to justify. Oh, that's too hard, or I'll just sit here and wait, or I'll just... But there's a conviction that is telling us to go or to wait. The conviction is telling us to... Maybe you had enough, and maybe you should hold up. Or you can go ahead and have a little bit more. And we come under this reasoning and this concept where we avoid listening to the conviction. Well, I want us to clearly understand that that's temptation. When we ignore the conviction of our heart. Not all conviction is bad. I want everybody to understand this. It's a leading and a guiding of hope, a light. The outcome is we want to accomplish something. We have things, desires. Amen? Do we have all desires? We all have desires. Walking in life and understanding the powers of the soul wants to rob your desires. It wants to take away your desires. It wants to take your life. It wants to take your life away. And what happens is we are led into temptation. And these temptations know how to work on the weakness of our life. We are weak individuals. We don't want to do anything. And yet we want to do everything. We're just weak in our wisdom. We're weak in our knowledge. And that's why in Scripture, in the Bible, it says, don't lean under your own knowledge. The knowledge of man is foolish to God. The wisdom of man is foolish. But the wisdom of God is wise. He knows the direction of our footsteps. He knows the outcome. He knows, and we think one way, but God knows another way. And God's ways are much better than us. So when we lean on our own understanding and fall into that temptation based on our weakness of our carnal nature, that weakness in our carnal nature causes us to sin. It causes us to not listen to the guiding light of hope, I want to say. It causes us, and this is what the Bible means, being disobedient. It causes us to be disobedient. That's what really sin is all about. God wants to lead us. God wants to direct us. But we are under a weakness, which is called our flesh or our carnal nature or the soul. We're always subject to temptation, which temptation is sin. Well, it's the beginning of sin. You know, when temptation comes and we entertain it, then it births sin. What we need to do is fight temptation. We need to battle this temptation. Come to a place of realizing that we are weak. One way to battle temptation is to accept the fact that you're weak and you're subject to fall. When we don't have that heart, temptation is easily there to entice us to do something that our conviction is telling us not to. For example, everyone knows the story of Adam and Eve. This vision came to me, and I kind of giggled with it because it's an old traditional story. Adam and Eve. Eve took the apple, told God, said, don't eat from the tree. And because she ate the apple, she was with sin, right? Well, it wasn't the apple that caused her to be with sin. It was the fact that she was told through conviction, don't eat the apple. Temptation came. Oh, that apple looks really good, don't it? And she went, yeah, and took it and did it. Now, Eve wasn't a bad person. Eve wasn't, you know, but she was born in a nature that's subject to us to cause us to be disobedient in a conviction. This is what causes us to be sinners. I'm sharing this message because I believe God is saying to us, I want us to come to Him. He wants us to come to God in holiness. It's easy to realize the obvious sin. How many people understand the obvious sin? I don't have to repeat all the stuff out there, but it's obvious, you know. But there's sin in the eyes of God that I believe causes us not to enter into those gates, not to be blessed. The soul is always there justifying your weak actions. The soul will have you sit there and literally rot, or have you run around chasing your tail and not get anything accomplished and wear you out. But the leading of God through His conviction of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, goods and bads. That's why before I used to say there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no good, there is no bad. And I wanted our listeners to understand that the only law that really means anything is the one that is written on our heart. God may be saying to you, go. But He might be saying to me, don't go. Do we both go? Right? No, we have to listen to the law that's written on our heart. I have to listen to not go, and you have to listen to go. This is the law that God has written, and this is the law that Jesus was trying to show us. Especially when He spoke to Peter and said, Peter, you don't have the mind of God. You're leaning on your own wisdom and you don't have any knowledge of the law that's written on my heart. I have to go. And He even said, get behind me, Satan. But, you know, He was verbalizing something that was going against the law written on His heart. I want to share a verse with you. And it's almost like the theme of what is being shared right now. And I brought my glasses today because I knew John wouldn't be here. It says here in Galatians 5:16, and this is in the New Living Translation, and I want us to kind of really understand and listen to what is being said. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. And I want to look at the Holy Spirit right now as hope, as conviction. Now remember, conviction is, we were born in a knowledge that conviction meant bad. How many people grabbed that one? Oh, I'm being convicted, it's bad, I can't do this. But conviction also means good too. You know, God is just leading us through conviction. Conviction is a way of saying go, don't go. Yes, you can, yes, you can't, that kind of thing. And I look at that as the Holy Spirit's guide. And it has a lot to do with hope, too. Because our hope is our path. Hope is God leading us through life. And without hope, you have no life. So if you can look at hope as God's hand just pulling you and leading you and guiding you. You know, hope is the main foundation of our life, wouldn't you think? Everything I do through hope. Oh, I have this in hopes of. I do this in hopes of. I'm this because of in hopes of. I left this because of in hopes of. I'm going here because of hopes of. And we all have hope, and hope is really the core of our life. So it says here, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So I'm going to read that over again. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful soul nature craves. So obviously we were born in a nature that craves sin. But the sin is not what you think sin is. In the eyes of God, He's saying humanity has matured. And now it's time to put away the immaturity and move on to more of a mature thought in the eyes of sin. For example, let's take a dramatic step back in life, in creation. How many people know the caveman days? Okay. In the caveman days, they lived their lives like animals.
Woman, jumping, rah,
and drag her by the hair. Through life, we have matured through what is called sin. We don't treat our women or our men that way anymore. We have a respect, an honor. We have more dignity. How many people are following me and agree with what I'm saying? So when the Bible, written 2,000 years ago, starts talking about sin, adultery, fornication, all that other stuff, we are beyond that, wouldn't you think? And God is saying the same thing. You have brought up in life beyond. You already know the morals of life. You just don't go around doing those things. So we were born with a greater knowledge and an understanding of really holiness, if you think about it. Wouldn't I get an amen on this one? Our children, you look at our children today and how they are just brought up in ways of knowing what is really right and what is good and what is bad. I know with my child today, they, you know, when scenes come on television, they're still closing their eyes on their own. I don't even have to say, don't look. You know, they're just doing this. And then they understand that, you know, foul language and stuff like that. They just blow it off and they don't mimic or copy it, where years ago they would mimic or copy or want it or what have you. So God is saying to this generation, I want you to look deeper at the sin that is set before us. The sin that is causing us to fall into temptation. And it may be where it's as simple as God saying, don't go, when everybody else is saying go. Or to go when everybody is saying don't go. How many are following that? God wants us to look deeper into the eyes of sin now, so that we aren't caught up. There's a scripture verse that has really sparked this series of messages about the soul and how to give us an understanding of the nature, the carnal nature, and how we were born in this nature and what this nature craves. Now, the Spirit craves the will of God. People always say, I want to know the will of God. All right, if you want to know the will of God, then get into the Spirit, because the Spirit knows the will of God for your life. It's not a pattern, 10 steps of the will of God. It's not that. The will of God is when you are in spirit and you listen to the guiding light of hope, the Spirit of God that is in you, to lead you and guide you, and you follow that. And that's what it meant by the Bible saying the children of disobedience or the children of obedience. I want to be a child of obedience. I don't want to be the child of disobedience. Many years ago, the child of disobedience was the ones who would and then grab their, you know, spouse or by the hair. Today, the child of disobedience is one who just doesn't hear that still small voice of conviction. God wants to bring his people higher. He wants us to come to a place where we all come into that kingdom of God. There's a place, that verse that I'm going to go back. The verse was, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And God said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And they began to justify all the good things that they did. But God is saying, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. obviously the worker of iniquity was an individual who just didn't have eyes to see the sin in their life. They were living in the carnal nature, doing the works of traditional religion, so to say, but they weren't listening to the conviction of go or don't go, do or don't do in their heart. So I came to a revelation and understanding and knowledge that the worker of iniquity in the eyes of God was that they just weren't listening to their heart. They were following the patterns of the world. They were following the patterns of tradition. They were following patterns of what is laid out before them. And it's only because that's all they knew. God is saying today, it's time to grow in that maturity, to hear that voice within your own self. You have a thing called hope. It's a guiding light that leads all of us. And not all of us have the same hope. Yes, we have the same desires for each and every one of us. Yes, we come to become one like body. But I want to go into a more of a deeper relationship with God. I want you to become into a place of holiness within yourself in the eyes of God. We all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So we all need to stand before Him. Are we able to stand before Him today and say, yes, I'm a child of obedience. I listen to every voice that's within me. Now, there are times where we might have to take a moment and step back because we're, you know, not sure if it's the carnal nature of self making all these justifications and the wisdom of man trying to instruct us and lead us and guide us. Yes, we do. We need to take a step back and say, Lord, I need a stronger conviction. I need a stronger hand. This is my prayer. Lord, if you want me to be the person you want me to be, I want you to have a hard hand on me. I want you to hold true that voice, and that voice is clear to me, and I don't miss a step. Now, if God's going to lead us and guide us, He needs to speak to us. That's my prayer. This is my message for today. Lord, speak loud to us. There's a thing called deception. Deceived. And we are deceived. We are deceived day in and day out. The nature of the carnal nature or the soul of nature that we were born into, remember, it's not our fault. We're not bad people. It's just the nature that we were born in. We were born in the world. And that nature thrives. It hungers. It doesn't hunger after righteousness. It hungers after unrighteousness. But yet it wants to justify righteousness. It wants to say you're doing right. You're doing this. You're doing everything right. It wants to tell you that you're good. And it wants to tell you all these things. But the reality is, it's deceiving us. The best way to resist this lie, and I call it a lie, to resist this nature, the best thing to resist this nature is to understand and have a heart that we all fall short of the glory of God. We're all subject to be tempted. No one is good. I look at myself as I'm not good. Don't call me good. I'm subject to fall. Because of my own issues, my life justifies itself. I mean, I can look into everybody's life and see clearly, but to look in my own life, I battle the soul, and the soul wants to justify everything. It wants to make me say I'm doing everything right and everything good and nothing's wrong, when the reality is I have to hear the voice of God. I have to learn the voice, I have to hear the voice, and I have to be obedient to the voice. And my flesh is weak. My flesh wants to operate in the wisdom of man, I want to say. My mind is trying to reason. My mind is trying to justify. My mind is looking at facts that are facts. But God can do all things to those who love Him. God can provide our needs. If God is saying, drop everything, walk away from everything, and follow me, are we prepared? Now, I'm not saying that everybody to drop everything and to, you know, walk away from everything and yada, yada, yada. But here's a perfect example. What if you're in love with somebody and God says, walk away? Now we're in love with our lives, aren't we? Isn't it hard to walk away from your life? We want to protect it all the time. We want to, you know, preserve it. We never really walk with that risk, that life of hope. Oh, I'll do it when I have everything set up. I'll do everything when it's all organized and ready to go. God wants us to walk by faith. He wants us to live by faith. And we need to walk with Him. And if anybody wants to know who God is, it's your hope. That's His hand. At least let's see His hand. If we can see God's hand and we begin to follow it, we'll begin to see His face. And then we'll know His character. We'll know His attributes. We'll know what He's looking for. And God knows what's best for us. We don't. The Spirit of God knows what's best for us. The Holy Spirit knows what's best for us. The nature doesn't want you what God wants. The carnal nature does not want what God wants for your life. It's set up to rob, steal, kill, destroy. Everyone is looking for the devil out there. Yes, the forces and the evils are out there, but they're also inside. I'm going to share a verse with you, but I want you to hear this, living by the Spirit's power first. It says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Now, isn't that what I just said about 5 minutes ago? And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful soul nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. You're not free to carry out that life that God wants for you. It'll justify, it'll make excuses, it'll always put on your righteousness and never have the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is counting everything that you know as dung so that you can follow Him, so that you can know Him the more. It says here, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And then it begins to start talking about, you know, the obvious, but I want to go a little deeper and realize the convictions and how we don't listen to them and then how we justify them. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's in Galatians 5, 16 through 26, if you want to read it. It's not out of my own words. It's out of Scripture. And what I want to share is that we are deceived all the time. But a humble, broken, contrite heart, knowing that we're not good, and knowing that we need the righteousness of God, not the own righteousness of ourselves. Now, how many of us understand justification? How many of us understand the weakness of flesh, or the weakness of our nature? And how many understand hope, and how hope will cause you to do things that might require a little effort? Or it might cause you to sit back and not do anything, which I know that's sometimes hard for me to do because I feel like I need to do everything, and if I don't do it, it won't get done. Well, when we operate in our own thoughts, in our own minds, our own wisdom, that's considered disobedience in the eyes of God. But when we operate under the conviction of our hearts, whether good, bad, right, or wrong, doesn't matter. The law that's written on our hearts that's telling us to go or not to go, to stay, to not to stay, blah, 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 whatever it is. Then we're obedient to His eyes. In that, we are now able to enter into the kingdom of God. I want to enter into the kingdom of God. I don't want to have to be that one that has, you know, left this earth, coming up to the glory of the Lord, and then have to hear, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And then say to him, listen to the soul still alive. It begins to justify. The soul is still alive at that guiding light. At that light of eternity, the soul is still manifesting itself by going, but Lord, I did all these things in your name. But Lord, I did this, I did that, I did this. And he stood there firmly and said, get away from me. You worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That scared the hell out of me. It put something inside of me to say, Lord, I want to know. I want to know your truth because I don't want to go through the traditions of what my reasoning and my mind and my thoughts are saying to me in this life and then hear the words, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So then he began to kind of giggle and laugh and say, oh, I love the fear of the Lord that is in you. This is what iniquity is. When I say go, you go. When I say stop, you stop. When I say you speak, you speak. When I tell you to shut your mouth, you shut your mouth. When I say these things, you listen and you'll walk with me. And you'll see blessings beyond blessings for not only you, but your family and so on and so on and so forth. And I truly believe as those who are the authority of the head of the household, you have more of a responsibility to hear this word. Wives, you're blessed. I feel that your salvation is in the midst of when two become one. The burden is held heavy on the shoulders of that one. Because we're living in a political correctness world, I'm sure there's going to be individuals that are going to be offended by some of these things. But at the same time, God has brought creation and lined up the way life is, and that's just the way it is. There are two that become one, and that's just the way it is. Moving forward, I want to share something with you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 18, and I'll be real quick with this. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to become wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are fruitful. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. It goes on and on and on. But I just want to share how God knows. Sometimes our nature justifies so much and puts on our righteousness to where we'll even argue to the point that we're blue in the face. We will be stiff-necked. We will be, you know, the whole nine yards. Has anyone ever come to that point where they're just right and that's just the way it is and we don't want to hear any reasoning or nothing? Hey, listen, I'm like that a lot. And most of the time I'm right. But there are those times where I have to sit back and listen and realize that I'm not always right. And my soul tries to justify our actions. So moving forward, the word that I got today was deception. We're all deceived. Not by our own will, but by the nature we were born in. Not because we're bad people, and not because we're good people. It's just the mechanics of life. And we have to be wise, not in our own wisdom, but we need to be wise in God, in His wisdom, and yield ourselves and lay ourselves down. We know what God has wants for us. everyone knows what God wants for them. I've been running from a conviction for many years, and it took some devastation in my life to listen. And he got his way. I used to say, I feel like I'm in the belly of Jonah. God is telling me to go, and then a whale just swallowed me up, and now I'm in this vomit, in this nasty place, until I said yes, and then the whale went up and puked me on the beach. But even then, I did what I had to do, and I caught myself under the shaded tree murmuring and complaining. Let us not go the direction that Jonah went. Let us suck it up. And let us just be obedient to what God is calling us to do, because there are times where we'll act the same way. Even when we're in God's will, we'll murmur and we'll complain and we'll justify and make excuses. The flesh is weak and it's always deceiving us. And we need to count everything as joy and begin to humble ourselves and be a bondservant in his eyes and do what we're called to do. Whether it's to go or not to go, to do or not to do. And at the same time, when we're with those individuals, let us encourage one another. Let us not lean on our own understanding, thinking if I'm going, you have to go too. We have to believe that God is working in all of our lives, amen? And we need to encourage one another and say, you know what? I feel differently. You can voice yourself, but at the same time, you release that person, because we all have to work out our own salvation. And there may be things, especially in marriages, there's that constant conflict, you know? You really sure? You know that? And they bring doubt into you and all that other stuff. We need to say, let's think about this. Or this is how I feel, but you still do what you want to do. We need to do that. We need to build and edify ourselves up as far as those that are in the household of God. Amen? Amen. Let us all bow our heads for a moment. God is calling us to a greater place of righteousness in him. He wants us to come before him and not say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. He wants to open up his arms and say, well done, my faithful servant. Well done, you fought the good fight. You fought against the carnal nature. You fought against the soul. You fought against the deception. You heard my voice. You held out with hope. You held my hand. You allowed me to guide you. You allowed me to lead you. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. And it's always about relationship. Whether it's with your wife or husband, children, friends, neighbors, it's all about relationship. And God is desiring to be the greatest relationship in your life. We're all facing life. And we all live in that deception, in that carnal nature. But God's grace and his mercy and his love is there. And he's saying that I'll never leave you or forsake you. Just allow me to be there. Don't put me off to the side. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I ask that those that are in trouble and are heavy laden, give them peace. Those that are coming up to know you the more, speak loud to us so that we can hear your voice clearly. I pray, amen and amen. I'm going to call Pastor Tim up if he would close us. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim.
You know, that was an awesome word, because we've been speaking about the soul and about how it's deceptive and how all of us have a battle on our hands each and every day with this. And, you know, we need to continue to stand in that hope that God has given us, because that is His hand. And He wants to continue to have a relationship with all of us. But if we're stuck in soul, we don't have a relationship. We have a relationship with deception. And what Pastor was saying today is perfectly where I think all of us need to be, is to really search our hearts, see where we're at, and just start to change the way we're thinking and find where that joy is and that peace is, and come out of that deception. Because Pastor Kurt even brought up about depression. You know, when you're stuck in soul and you're not getting things that you want out of those desires that you want, and you're trying to force it to happen, or you're not doing anything at all, you tend to fall into depression. And with depression, it brings self-pity. And that's truly the pit. That's the pit of hell. It's hard to get out of that. So I think God is really speaking to all of us today and saying, look, man, search your heart. Find the joy in life. Find the peace in life. Find that word that He speaks to inside of all of us every day, and follow it. Follow that conviction, because in it, you will have peace and joy, because you know God's saying, well done, my faithful servant. But if we're following something else, and there's worry and there's fear and there's anxiety involved in it, look, we're not right with God. And God wants us right with Him. Amen? Amen. So with that being said, yeah, let's give God a round of applause. It was a great message by Pastor Jim today. Log on Wednesday night. If you can't make it out, we do have 7:30 service where the pastors get together as a round table. We discuss exactly what we're speaking about today. It will be out on the web. And we also have Sunday service again, and it starts at 10 o'clock. We have an awesome worship service. God is starting to speak prophetically in worship again, which is awesome. Especially last week, there was a tremendous word that was spoken. So if you can get out here and hear it, the worship team really leads us into spirit too. It's really nice. So we also start 11 o'clock on Sunday. So if you're logging in, see if you can also make it out here, because there's nothing like being in the atmosphere of God in His presence. Amen. So have a great work week. Be blessed. Hope to see you Wednesday night.